Hey, I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Sam, and we still don't know what goalie interference is.
This is Biscuits and Tea. So it's been a while.
It's been a little while.
That's the line I use at bars. Just kidding.
What?
It's been a while. Oh my god. Okay, so I have the NHL website open right fucking now, and guess what? So in the left corner, they have their list of, like, follow us. Twitter, Facebook, Insta, YouTube, Snapchat, Giphy, TikTok, Twitch. All of these are on there. I know that they have an official TikTok. I didn't think that they were proud of it like this.
Yeah,
all right.
Did I know that exists? I don't know if I knew that. I'm not a TikTok. The only TikToks I see are the compilation ones on YouTube. I can't be bothered to get another app on my phone.
Well, the second one is Patrick Kane, so that's a great start. Now it's the mascots. Yeah. Man, why does the NHL have some of the worst mascots?
Nordy
sucks.
Nordy sucks. I love Victor Nordy. Green. Get out of here. Get Victor out.
Green sucks, or whatever the fuck the Dallas Stars want.
He's cute. He's just like a little alien. I can't. Who do you think? What's a good mascot to you then? What's a good mascot?
Goldie the Gopher.
What? It's a freaking gopher.
but still, he doesn't look. He's not terrible to look at.
Neither is Nordy or Victor.
Yeah, Nordy has a fucking mullet. Are you fucking kidding me?
I can't. I can't right now. No, I love
also.
Nordy.
So, like, here's the NHL mascots. So, like, there's a couple categories. There's, like, did you even try? Furry bait. And then, that's it. There's did you even try and furry bait. Have you seen Nash? And then whatever the fuck the, Capitals. Mascot is Slapshot, something like
mascot
that.
Mascot is an eagle.
Yeah, but he's got, like, thick-ass eyebrows. And, like, he's
supposed to be mean-looking.
Yeah. Yes. I don't make... It's not me who wants to fuck the mascots. It's the furries.
I like the NHL mascot. Screw you.
Because you're like a furry.
There's like, yeah, thanks. There's like three good things about the NHL, which are like the Hurricanes, and I don't know. I can't. I feel like it's been 40 years since I've paid attention to anything in the NHL. Because it's literally. Is it Wednesday? I didn't go to work today. Is it Wednesday? It's literally Wednesday. And I think the Wild haven't played for like a week, but I'm still just like lost in my life. Like, I don't know. We should probably talk about the All-Star game, which I watched none of the skills competition live because a University of Minnesota Duluth men's hockey game instead, which like was so much better because they beat North Dakota, who sucks. So like that was good, but I have not watched the skills competition, and I saw one of the All-Star games. It was one of like the semifinals. I don't even remember which one.
I can give you a breakdown of like the All-Star or the skills competition.
I know kind of it. I know Jacob
Slavin. A ton of NHL players. are practically forced to go do this thing that they don't want to do. And then they, like, get shown up by somebody else, like, a couple days later. Which is what happened this year and what happened last year.
Yeah, I don't even know. I vaguely remember last year, even though I was really paying attention. I remember the only really thing I remember about last year was Dubnyk had that awesome glove save against McDavid. And I remember some of the fastest skater, because McDavid won, obviously, but then Kendall Coyne Schofield did her thing, and then there was all the drama with the, not drama, all the bullshit with the NHL and the female athletes later. You know what the stupid part is? Is they did the exact same goddamn thing this year. Instead of paying them actual money, they donated money to whatever charity they wanted in their name. The women, I don't know if it was the women who participated or just the women who, or just the team who won the Elite 3-on-3. But okay, if anything, it should be the opposite. The NHL players should be the ones who have money donated in their name. And because the sums, the money they get paid is nothing. They get $10,000 or something for winning the the one of the games or something. I don't quote me on that. I don't remember any of it, but nothing compared to their base salaries.
I remember in 2015 or something, where, or 2016, where Ovechkin was like, draft me last because I need a car, because that was the last year that it was good. The teams were drafted instead of just voted by fans. I think you voted your captain, or you voted who would go, and then they got drafted onto separate teams, which was way more fun. Mm-hmm. And whoever sponsored that was giving away a car to the player that got drafted last.
Yeah, and I remember Ovechkin, I remember hearing about this later, he wanted to get drafted last, and then because he wanted to donate the car to a youth mm-hmm. hockey team or something. The All-Star game needs to be redone, because if the players don't want to go,
Bettman just needs to get his fucking hands off it. Yeah, no, speaking of Ovechkin got suspended for skipping it.
Yeah, that's what happens. If you if you opt out of it, you have to sit a game.
Well, I figured that like everybody just came up with an excuse, I have a bad ankle or something like that. I didn't think people actually got suspended. Holy shit.
Yeah, no, it happens every
year. That's so stupid. That's so stupid.
Yeah, it needs to be better. It needs to be better. I'm sure if you're actually there, if you're a fan who's actually there, it's probably pretty cool. But just on TV and whatever, it's kind of shit. You have to make something that the players aren't obviously trying to get out of, and that it's literally a joke. That it's a running joke that no one wants to go to the All-Star game.
That's also part of it. I was at a bachelorette party. And I wasn't there. So I had no real I should check out on how the All-Star game is going.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just stupid. Before the actual All-Stars game, the Minnesota Whitecaps and the Boston Pride from the NWHL were playing. And I was it wasn't at the same time, but I was I watched that game and it was a totally awesome game. And then just forgot about the All-Stars game. And my dad came home and he was I don't know if he even said the All-Star game, but I remembered it. And then I put it on and we were both just kind of which
yeah um, I think one thing too is that so like All-Star games are usually really fun. Like the NBA All-Star game, it's like a dunk competition. And then there's like I think there's like a half court game. Like but it's like fun. It's like
yeah, exactly. The NHL
celebrity and like cool like they get celebrity celebrity guests to like coach, not coach, sorry. Judge like everything. And it's fun. Like NHL is just allergic to fun.
Yeah, because they take it way too seriously. Like why does hockey takes itself so seriously, but like the players are some just like the like unserious people. Like it just it's so weird. The whole I don't know what I was trying to say there, but it didn't come out right. But like it's just so weird. They need to make it fun. Cause like I don't know. They should get rid of the game. They should just do like crazy like skill stuff. Like I don't know. Yeah, just
the game should be like I don't know. They should make it funny or something. Like so like they could make it a game, but like instead of a penalty box, you have to like go into the penalty, like you go into the penalty box, but instead of just sitting there, you have to like complete a challenge to get out. Like
Survivor.
Like you have to solve a puzzle.
Yeah. Like there's so many people who could come up with so many like better things. It's like ridiculous. Someone needs to revamp the league.
I know.
Do we want to talk more about the All-Star game or can I start my rant about women's hockey?
We should talk about what was said during the All-Star game. That, just for the record, is completely untrue. The pro women's PWHPA is not a union.
Okay, so background. Cassie Campbell-Pascal on the Canadian broadcast on the Sportsnet broadcast was talking to one of the other broadcasters about women's hockey or like, so the women who played in the Elite 3-on-3 game there were no players from the NWHL, which is like the league that's in the US right now for women's hockey. And then the PWHPA, the Professional Women's Hockey Association, they pledged to not do any North American leagues because their hashtag is for the game. And they want to see a sustainable league, so they are boycotting the NWHL. So the broadcaster brought up that none of the NWHL players were playing in the Elite 3-on-3 or were present at the NHL All-Star Weekend. And like Cassie Campbell-Pascal just starts like saying nonsense, basically. She's like outright lies and slander against the NWHL players. She says that the best women's hockey players are not playing in the NWHL. And that she said that, and the she also says that the PWHPA has said that before, and that's true. The PWHPA has said before that the best women's hockey players are not in the NWHL. I'm sorry. That's so incorrect. That's like not even like that's actual slander. Like,
I mean, it's not slander.
But like,
it's just mean.
Yeah, like, oh, like we're like the point of the PWHPA was to like their initial statement was really weird, but now their statements on their website make a lot more sense, because originally their like first statement was all about like boycotting a league. They're boycotting a league, and like that was to try and bring attention and because they wanted to start a more sustainable league, which meant getting paid. And that was a lot of what they were saying, is they're not getting paid livable wages, which is true, because the NWHL is still like relatively new, and they get paid. They don't get paid livable wages. Most of the women still have to work full-time jobs. But at the beginning, my issue with it was like, where do you think this money is going to come from? Like, the NWHL literally doesn't have it. Like, they want to pay you, but they can't do it. Like, I don't know, like, and the only way that they'll be able to pay you is if they keep growing. So that was really weird, for one, unless they know something that the rest of us don't, which who knows. And yeah, so that's the background on that. So ever since then, there's been this weird, like, everything is like really like behind closed doors with the I'm just gonna abbreviate them, the P and the N, because it can't with all these acronyms. Like, everything is super behind closed doors with the P, and now their new, like, kind of like mission statement, whatever, is creating a sustainable league. And so they're doing this. They've just been dunking on the N just because they exist. And like, I've tried to be not biased in this, and this has been like a year, not quite a year, but this has been happening. I don't quite remember when the piece started, but it was like, I don't know, probably in the spring, maybe the end of winter. Honestly, I don't remember. It was right after the CWHL folded, which was the Canadian version of the NWHL. They folded suddenly, like totally unexpectedly. And then shortly after that, the P started up. I don't even know where I was going. But yeah, the P has just been like, just from what I've seen, it just been trying to like bash the NWHL, which makes no sense. Like, if you're trying to grow women's hockey, like, do it. Like, the only thing that you're doing by bashing the NWHL is just bashing women's hockey. It's not useful. Like, people aren't going to stop watching the NWHL because you're saying bad things about it or whatever. Like, the league is what it is. Like, as far, like, I was trying to be not, I, here's what I was trying to say before. I was trying to be not biased at the beginning of this whole mess. And now, like, especially after the comments this past weekend, I am just so done. Like, I can't take this anymore, because I feel like the only things I've seen is the PWHL being a bunch of just elitist and like just bashing the NWHL, when like, I'm sorry, I don't know what else you want. If you want to start a league, like, you have to start a league. Like, mm-hmm. that's what you have to do. And all of this like bashing the NWHL and the players for like no reason, and like cozying on up to the NHL, because you're clearly trying to get a league out of them. Like, it's obvious. We understand, and like it's very transparent. It's so frustrating. It is so frustrating, because all I want to do, I want to watch women's hockey and I want to support women's hockey, but we can't do it. We can't like do it. And it's mind-boggling. Like, I can't believe this is happening. Oh, one last thing of news was the NWHL then put out a statement. Cassie Campbell-Pascal is as far as I'm aware, as far as I could see, she's not associated or affiliated or anything with the PWHPA. As far as I'm aware, they didn't make anything of it on the broadcast, as far as I know. And when I was like looking her up, like on her Twitter and whatever, like she didn't have anything on there. So like I am, and she's just been part of the broadcasting team for a sports that, as far as I'm aware anyways. So like she even had no affiliation to anybody, and yet she saw fit to do this. I believe she was part of the CWHL before it folded, obviously. But she obviously supports the PWHPA and spouted outright lies about like not only their organization being a union, which is not, and then spreading false rumors or something, just random shit about the NWHL. And the NWHL like released a statement like, we usually wouldn't address this, but
it's on our Twitter clearly, if you wanna read it.
Yeah, it's clearly untrue. Like our players, because one of the things that she said was the players like could be liable to investors or something, and they were, and the NWHL was like, no, that's not how this works. And I don't know how her statements were not vetted beforehand. I'm so disappointed in Sportsnet. Like, I mean, I'm disappointed in, just in broadcasting in general, but like of the NHL, but like that was super disappointing. And I was like, I cannot believe that happened. Like, yeah, you can't, like, spreading falsehoods about either league is ridiculous. And the NWHL has their own union. I'm sorry, I went on a total tirade there, but this is really frustrating and really important to me. And, like, I don't know. I'm done not having a bias. I'm biased towards the NWHL because at least they're a league and at least they are kissing up to the NHL and at least they actually care to, like, I don't know, function. They have a lot of problems.
Well,
Danny Rylan or whoever the CEO is, like, there's problems, but like at least they're a league and at least they speak up about stuff and at least they're not immature elitists.
I mean, what you said about function is a good point. So one of the PWHPA statements on their website, the PWHPA is composed of the best women's hockey players from around the world. They represent all levels of experience, Olympic medalists, world champions, veteran professionals, and recent college graduates. The PWHA will help our members by coordinating training needs, optimizing their opportunities, and driving support from sponsors. So that, to me, sounds like a players' association. It sounds like something that would go along with a league membership. So yeah. Now the PWHPA is going forward with this sort of going back to whatever, is starting to use this sort of rhetoric of you have to be in the PWHPA or you can't be anything else. And I mean, here's the other thing, is the PWHA managed to get some of the most
notable women's hockey players.
Yeah, so
I think they, I don't know if they got them or if they started it. A whole lot of them really believe in what they're doing. So
like Knight is in there. Did Kessel join?
Kendall Coyne Schofield. I'm pretty sure, literally, if you can name a name, they're probably honestly part of the PWHPA.
Basically, it's every, like, women's hockey or professional, like, women's hockey player that has enough sponsors where they can just do hockey. Like,
yeah, basically.
It's basically all the privileged players, it was my point.
Exactly.
So, and it's not a league. They don't play regularly. They have been doing these weird showcases.
Yeah, it's called the Dream Gap Tour, which I don't understand because at the beginning they were saying this would be like, it was going to be like a year of showcasing women's hockey. And they were going to do like all these games, which they have been. They've been doing all these games with members of the PWHPA, just like showcase women's hockey or like and whatever. I mean, maybe, but they're a dream.
Maybe it's because we come from Minnesota, but like, what good is that? Like, I get it. You're exposing young some kids non-traditional and young women to like women's hockey. And I have to say that, you know, living in a hockey popular state, you typically, like, every little girl I know either plays hockey or dances in the winter. Some both. And mm-hmm. they do softball in the summer. Like, I just, that's just because where we live. Yeah. And then,
like, if you don't know, like, everyone knows about hockey.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, of course, there's going to be places where that's not the case. What does a showcase do more than a game? Not a ton, really.
Yeah, like, I don't...
This is, like, a better sort of endeavor. This is just a different endeavor, which is fine. It's I'm sorry, I'm looking at it, but, like, the logo with, like, the ponytail is so bad. Ugh! Like, everything the PWHPA, it feels, honestly, it almost feels like it's a response to a couple things. It's a response to, I mean, the NWHL not expanding because they literally cannot afford to. The NWHL did not expand after the Canadian League folded because they could not afford to pay the players enough. They were like, yeah, we can't do like, this now. We want to, but we cannot.
Yeah.
What were they supposed to do? Just pay people pennies? Like, no. And it feels like, part of it feels like a reaction to, like, I don't know, some of the, let me think of how to say this. So, like, Brown came out, right, on the Buttes and then retired.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is all.
Harrison Brown, for people who aren't aware.
Sorry. We're on last name basis. Just kidding. And I think Harrison's actually like does some stuff with Team Trans. I don't know. It feels like a weird like reaction to some of the press the NWHL got for some of its more progressive viewpoints last year too.
Oh shit!
Like I mean that's a little tinfoil hat.
That's a reach, but like also like.
I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying that it's weird timing for the NWHL to get a ton of press, most of it like pretty progressive. That feels like such a cheap term, but you know what I mean. The Canadian League to fold, and then all of these like white rich women's hockey players to suddenly start their own shit.
Yeah,
like it's bad timing. It is. And
yeah,
I don't think the PWHPA could be a thing. However, you have to be exclusive with them. You can't be in any mm-hmm. other league, at least at the moment. And that's a mistake. And because of that, I'm not going to support it because that's and at this point now, they've been bullying players to join. For mm-hmm. some reason.
Yeah. There's been, as of now, there has been one player who's defected, who's dropped the PWHPA and went to play for the Buttes.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, good. Good on you for
then she could actually doing what you play. Want. And yeah. my other, oh God, what was the other thing I was going to say? I forgot.
Well, I was going to say, for... like, this Dream Gap Tour, they've literally just been saying that this is a year thing. So, like, that, from the beginning, that's made me think that, okay, they're working something out, probably with the NHL, like, screw what Gary Bettman says, like, about not being interested, whatever. They've had rights to WNHL since like the 90s or the early 2000s. I can't remember, but they've had rights to names and stuff. And like, so from the beginning, like, are like all their, like their talk is all about a league and getting paid. So like after this year, like what do they have up their sleeves? Like, were they planning on getting something together in a literal year? Were they planning, were they trying to force the NHL's hand? The NHL doesn't need them. Yeah, it's maybe a little bit of bad press, but like,
also, like,
the NHL doesn't fucking care.
If the NHL is going to like buy into a league, they're going to buy into the NWHL, which has teams.
Like, yes, but also people have been talking about like Bettman doesn't want that negative press of, you know, taking over the NWHL.
Oh, no, I don't mean like, yeah. But I'm saying like if
it's already established.
Yeah. Like, but if they were like honestly, what I would imagine would happen at this point is if the NHL like sistered with a women's league.
Mm-hmm.
Like they would pick the NWHL because they actually have teams. Mm-hmm. And they like actually are a league. This the like the Professional Women's Hockey Players Association is trying to act like a league without being a league, and I don't get it. Hey guys, welcome to the middle of the podcast. Just wanted to pop in quick, see how we're all doing. Do a quick vibe check. Missed last week, mainly my fault. I was way behind on some stuff I needed to get done. And we don't want to rush these things or force them. So glad to be back this week, even though it was a really hard week to come back to, just sort of in the world and news. But no, we had a real good, easygoing session here. Hope you enjoy it. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Biscuit Podcast. As well as check out our Patreon, Biscuits and Tea. Our podcast is now listed on a ton of podcatchers. We use Buzzsprout as a host. You can find us on iTunes or whatever iTunes is now. Spotify, Stitcher, a couple others. Those are all, you know, linked around on our Patreon and Twitter. Oh, hi, Mega Man. Do you want to say hi? That's my kitty, Mega Man. He goes where he wants. I can't stop him from being here when I record. I apologize. Say hi, bud. Oh, thank you. All right, I'll let you guys get back to it. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole thing, it's literally so confusing.
Also,
and like, what makes me, like, I don't know, nervous, I guess, for lack of a better word, of the NHL and the PWHPA, like, being a thing is, number one, only the P players went to the All-Star game, and they talked about it, at least on this Canadian broadcast. I haven't watched the NBCSN, but I'm imagining they didn't talk about it. And that the NHL, their union is like, has become like a sponsor or somehow supports the PHWPA.
Well,
so when that happened, like maybe in the fall, I don't remember the time, but when that happened, I was like, oh shit. Like, yeah, I don't know. But then again, like the NHL has contributed some money to the NWHL team. Like hardly anything comparatively, but some things, and some NHL teams have even like partnered, like loosely partnered with the NWHL teams, at least last year. As far as I know, I haven't heard anything about it this year, but honestly, in like places where there's already NHL teams, like Minnesota, Buffalo, Boston, basically, I can't remember the Metropolitan Riveters. I don't know where they're at, but like,
New York, New Jersey, New York, somewhere in New York. Buffalo?
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry.
No, because it's the Buffalo Bees.
Listeners.
Yeah. I just... I talk about Minnesota hockey. I don't know anything else. But yeah, this is... It's so... Yeah. Like, they could easily do that. But I just... I get the feeling that the NHL is not going to go for the NWHL.
Well, here's the thing, though, is them being at the All-Star game, which it is Bettman's, you know... throw away fucking garbage can, is the NWHL has games going on and has teams going on and also has its own all-star game. So, yeah. So of course, like, I don't think the PWHPA going to the NHL all-star game is indicative of anything other than they don't have shit to do otherwise.
You think? Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think they straight up were like, hey, can we do something with you? And the NHL was like, oh, fuck, why not? We need to pad time because Lord knows Green Day isn't going to play a second set. And then fucking, yeah, the NWHL, if approached, for instance, like there could have just been one person or one, you know, planner who was like, yeah, we should get some women's, you know, we should get a women's showcase in here. And they're not going to go to the NWHL because they had a game that day. They had games that day across the country, and they have their own all-star game, which is really fun.
Yeah.
By the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Must watch. Yeah, I guess that's right. I'm probably just reading too much into
it. No, I mean, I'm not trying to say that you're wrong or anything like that. I think that plays into this too, but I don't think it's necessarily a good sign for the PWHPA that, like, again, like, how do you expect to keep, like, it's all like, how do you expect to gain support when all you're doing are these, like, showcases, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like a weird, it feels like a cult right now. It feels like if I'm supporting them, I'm not getting anything back.
Yeah.
Like, not even on, like, a level of, like, supporting the sport. Like, I don't feel like supporting them is supporting the sport right now. It's just supporting some, like, players who were... like question mark upset that what, you know?
Yeah, it's all very vague in how, like, it all got set up. Like, it's literally just so weird. It's like, it's so weird. It, like, doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. Yeah, no,
the other thing I was gonna say is that the NWHL has a union. They have their own union. So, I don't get why, unless, the only reason I could see the PWHPA being, like, a positive thing is if they were there to support the players of the Canadian League during, like, them not having a league, but it doesn't seem like they're doing that, so.
I mean, I can't comment on that. I don't know how many CWHL players went to the PHWPA. I know some of them went to the NWHL, but again, like, if you don't get paid enough to live on, you have to have you can't just uproot and move to the States to play. So, if you're a Canadian player. So, yeah, the whole thing is just mind-boggling. And the more I see Kenna Coyne Schofield's face, the more I just get even more angry.
Yeah,
because then we could have a whole nother 45-minute segment on bigotry in women's hockey. More specifically, racism in women's hockey, let's be real.
One thing, too. Like, I mean, like, if we're going to have steps forward in hockey, especially women's hockey, all hockey, it all needs to be... It needs to be intersectional, all of it. Like, there's no time or room for, oh, well, we'll just do this, and then no. It needs to be, like, that, and that's another thing why I'm really not feeling a PWHPA, is because it feels, I haven't seen any, like, a ton of, like, devotions to diversity, or, like, anything like that. Like I said, it feels like a weird cult. It's a cult of weird, like just endless blonde women hockey players. It's like going to a sorority party at the U of M.
Dear Lord. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, hockey has a race problem, and that applies to women too, and men, but like, it's just, it feels even worse in this association, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't say if I remember any sort of like devotion to diversity or inclusivity or anything, but like, I know the NWHL is big on that. So like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'd rather throw my eggs in the basket of a league and B, a league that supports diversity and inclusivity.
Also, I think that PWHPA is trying to be more partnered with the NHLPA, and the NHLPA is a joke, so that
I know nothing about the NHLPA.
I mean, it's the Players Association, but in the NHL, all the players are advocated by their own hired specialists. Mm-hmm. So, like, the NHLPA is the labor union for hockey players in the NHL under standard player contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think Ted Lindsay founded it and like somebody else.
So,
what they do is, I mean, they try and keep terms fair. So like, you know, let's say the NHL wanted to stop you from going to the Olympics. Oh shit, wait, you can't go to the Olympics. Or like, maybe the NHL like shouldn't force you to have to like do extra shit that you don't want to do. Oh wait, you do have to do extra shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. I understand like fundamentally how it works. And then I remember there was just, right before the season started, the stuff with the collective bargaining agreement and how they put off, I don't know, like, revisiting it for another, like, couple years or something. So that prevented a lockout, which was...
Yeah, that was,
I mean, good if you want to call it good, but I mean, like...
Well, the lockout was weird.
It's, like, it's going to happen sooner or later. Like, that's just how it is, because the terms need to be, like, revised, and neither, and, like, it's just... Business in the NHL is just...
Well, I can also say, I mean, sports in general has a really bad, like, like if...
Code of ethics? If you've
ever been in, like, sports management, like, you get to a point where the players stop becoming players and start becoming assets. So there's very much, I guess, objectification is the word I'm thinking of, but not in its most traditional or well-known sense, more in a literal, like pieces on a player board, playing board, like sort of
like object. Literal assets.
Yeah. So like there's definitely, and that's all professional sports. That's even, and it filters down to college. Filters down to high school, absolutely. And it filters down to youth sports too.
Absolutely.
And it's not that I don't think, like, it's not, like, it's hard because, like, I mean, we've talked about this before on this podcast. Like, it's not that the pursuit of winning is, like, a bad pursuit. However, if we're losing, like, if players are losing their humanity doing so, then, yeah, it kind of is.
Not worth it, yeah. And, okay, back for, like, a millisecond. I think the arguments for, like, body checking in women's hockey are, like, that whole conversation to me is, like, mind-boggling and, like, in like a weird, funny sort of way. But yes,
I think it's funny because they're conversations we also should have in men's hockey.
Like, yeah, that's the thing. Like the argument is always women should be able to hit, not
maybe men shouldn't hit. Should women be able to wear just visors and not masks? Not maybe the men should wear masks.
Oh, that's another thing. Hey, can, well, and here's another thing. A lot of women hockey players don't want to wear the mask. And I'm you should though. You really should. It's really much safer for you. I mean, and that's another thing. So as you get older,
I'm not gonna go out there. I wasn't about to go out there as a 10-year-old in karate and spar without my freaking face mask on. You get hit in the face. It sucks. It doesn't matter. If you're wearing foam gloves.
Okay, so in wrestling, you wear headgear to protect your ears from cauliflower ear. And if you don't do that, you have to get your ears drained. It's an extra large needle, and they suck out all of this buildup of fluids and pus.
From what?
From constant. So basically, when you don't wear your headgear, your ear is constantly being pushed against the mat and against other people. So it fills with fluid, and the cartilage gets damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole big thing.
Yeah.
Wear your fucking headgear. So if you watch Olympic Olympic wrestlers, they've stopped wearing their headgear and their ears are nasty. And it's their choice, sure, but
come on, it's not a good choice.
It's straight up just blunt trauma to the ear.
Yeah, just getting hit with a puck is.
It's literally just your ear getting hit and fucked up so many times that blood pools under the skin. And I mean, it's really big in martial arts too, I think. And it can get really worse too. Your cartilage can regrow wrong. Oh, it's big in boxing too. No, and I've seen so many of guys I know who've had to get their ear drained. It's plastic surgery.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's not that bad, you know. It sucks, but it's not the worst.
It's completely avoidable.
But it's completely avoidable.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wear your headgear.
That's yeah, it's so funny. Just we could prevent most concussions. Most CTE.
God,
I
couldn't actually get that far, but I started watching the Aaron Hernandez documentary. But I got too sad. I couldn't keep watching it because he had one of the most severe cases of CTE they ever found. And it just made me sad. But I mean, that's another thing. I mean, if we want to talk about football could change its whole problem if they just did their tackles differently.
Yeah. But they don't want it because
the NFL is determined to self-destruct.
Yeah. That'll be a great day to see.
Honestly, I don't follow football really. I enjoy going to football games. I don't think it's a very good TV sport, but I think it's a fun sport to go watch. I think it's a sport with a lot of history. And I think if they just started doing low tackles, then they might have some, better press.
Yeah. And more stable players.
Yeah. Players that didn't kill people.
Yeah.
Because there's been a few.
Yeah, that's way more than there should be, obviously. But, yeah, I don't follow football. I don't really care for football. But, it's a sport-wide thing. Yeah, it's ridiculous that safety is so often not a priority. We can play fun games and not get hurt. Not get hurt at the rates that we're currently seeing it. We can do things to minimize risk. Why don't we do that? that will make everything so much better for literally everyone. Because then, like, the players don't get hurt as much, so they can play more, which is what they signed up to do. And then the fans get to watch more because the players aren't constantly out with, like, preventable injuries. And then that makes the league happy because then more people are watching. And then, like, continue on indefinitely. Like, it's, yeah.
I'm kind of going through the list of football players who have been convicted of murder. There's at least five. Plus OJ, who was never convicted but admitted to the crime.
We don't have time to unpack all of that.
I follow OJ Simpson on Twitter because the man has a Twitter, and I was like, if I'm following anybody, I better be following OJ Simpson. And so, okay, I think the other reason this week has felt so long is because of Sunday, losing Kobe Bryant and his daughter. I cried all day. But and then Monday was really hard.
Yeah.
But then I had to see OJ Simpson like tweet about it. I was like, oh my god, I forgot I had followed him.
That's not a fun way to realize. Oh,
I also had people, oh my god. I mean, we don't have to talk about it, but like it's hard with Kobe because Kobe was accused of sexual assault in 2003, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's important to remember. I mean, he was never convicted. He was never charged even. And mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of progressive sports fans like to sort of jump the gun and, you know, be like, oh, well, you know, he must have done it, which of course, you know, I do believe in believing survivors over anything else, except in the case of white women accusing particularly like famous black men, because there is a hundreds of years long history of white women weaponizing their whiteness to have black men killed in the same way.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's where I'm on at that. And that's why I err on the side of Kobe a little bit. And also, I mean, that was 17 years ago, I must say. And he had done so much for our community. And his daughter was so cool. It's just so tragic.
Yeah. I remember, like, I didn't know that he was that he had those like accusations against him until this, but like there was an interesting mix of tweets that day, because there I just remember one very vividly that was a white liberal saying like, I can't, like, regardless or not of the sexual assault, like, can't believe, like, you guys are, like, mourning this, like, millionaire. Like, and I was like, I don't think you have the authority to determine that.
Yeah.
But go off?
No, I mean, yeah, that's definitely a case of, like, and here, and it's, oh, God, this keeps coming up. People like to flex their clout. People like to flex their, like, wokeness for clout is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
It comes up. I mean, it came up with the Grammys, comes up with anything. And it's performative. Like,
for sure.
In the truest sense of the word, for sure. It's performative allyship. Because, like, I had this conversation about Eminem with this white person, and, like, white people love to rag on Eminem, who just dropped a new album. I have not listened to it yet. I'm very like, I need to like be in the right fucking set of mind. Eminem is one of the best rappers
I feel that
to ever have rapped. He just is. And people like to give him crap. They're like, oh, well, he's just, you know, a culture vulture. And it's like, no, Eminem grew up in a black neighborhood in one of the hardest neighborhoods to grow up in in this country. He's always been an ally to the black community in like ways that matter. And he was raised up and brought up in the rap game by Dr. Dre, one of the greatest rappers to ever exist. No. Like,
nuance, in my opinion, less likely than you think. The nuance just gets so lost. And like,
also, Eminem has never pretended to be something he isn't. Ariana Grande. People, and it's basically people use Eminem as their scapegoat for like their racism in a weird way. So basically, you know, people think rap is inherently worse than other forms of music in, you know, either because they don't like it or either because they think it's more misogynistic, which is not true. And they will use, you know, white singers and rappers to sort of put all, because those are the only people they can call out without being called racist. But it's just, you hate this man for like, what, his albums from 2000, 2001?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was like 20 something and had just, and was all written from when he was living in honestly one of the hardest places to live. Like, sorry, y'all, 8 Mile Detroit fucking sucks. Detroit is such a hard city to just visit. I can't imagine living there, you know?
Yeah.
And my family's from Detroit. Like, I can't. I mean, I'm talking like houses just being like burning on the street, left to burn. Like it's, you know, 1970s New York. And like,
yeah.
But really it's, you know, today. And, you know, the late 90s when he was growing up and stuff. God, I actually had a conversation with this. Ugh, I shouldn't say this.
Okay.
I'm going to, like, well, bleep it out.
Say, like,
I'm going to bleep it out, though, because I have to tell you. This girl was trying to tell me, like, she was, I was saying, oh, well, what part? And she said, you know, the rich white part. And I was like, the fuck up, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah
But anyways, my whole point of that is white people and people who maybe are less or are more privileged than others but still want to support the less privileged will very often do so in very fake ways that benefit themselves more than others.
Thanks for coming to our TED Talk.
Thanks, like, for coming to my TED Talk.
Yeah, that's literally it. Yeah, that's what it was. And like, real, like, quote, wokeness, like, should be, you know, stepping back.
Or knowing when to step forward. Because, like,
yeah.
I honestly don't, like, even some of my, you know, people I know in real life, like, here's one thing. Like, whenever your white friends come up to you and tell you about, like, some racist thing they heard, and you're like, well, what did you do? And they're like, oh, well, I didn't do anything. It's like, okay, yeah. I don't want to fucking hear about it. Like, don't come up to me and tell me about what I have to deal with every day and, like, just tell me it happened. I know it happens. Like,
exactly.
If you hear something racist and you're a white person, say something, because you're the one who has the power to do so.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can't, you can't expect marginalized people to just do everything for you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be aware of yourself in the context of society.
Yeah.
Which is difficult to do.
Well, yeah.
It's difficult to do based on how we're raised.
Yeah, no, for sure. I was going to say.
How privileged people are raised.
We can draw up a a reading list if we want to, I guess. I mean, sometimes I do think about that, especially for like baby gays, like,
yeah, like, ooh.
Here's your welcome to the queer community packet. It includes these accessible readings for you to read. Please, God, read.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, not even read. Like, I'd love it if like we could, if I honestly, I'd love to make like a reading list and then also like find ways to get it translated, find ways to get it in a plain text format so people can edit it, like for themselves to read easier, in a way to get it like audio scripted. Like, I'd love it. But
yeah,
I am just a worm.
Yeah. We're all oppressed by capitalism and mental illness.
And Gary Bettman.
It's true. And I hate it. But yeah, it would be so, that would, I was thinking about that, not recently, but I think more so when I was in school. But yeah, just having like some historical context for a lot of things is very important. Mm. And
I mean, that's what was happening on Sunday. Find Biscuits and Tea Podcast on Twitter at Biscuit Podcast or on Patreon at patreon.com/biscuitsandtea.